Welcome all to our evening worship service. The announcements. Tomorrow night at 7:30 is the monthly Northern Presbytery Congregation's prayer time on Zoom at 7:30. Next Thursday, services here at 12 noon and 7:30. And the visiting preacher is Mr. Graham Fallows, my older brother. The following two Sabbath days, then, when I'm also on holidays, Reverend Tom McKendry is due to take the worship services morning and evening. There is an announcement sheet for July on the table that has the information on who's preaching on particular days. I'm working Monday and Tuesday, and then on holiday from Wednesday onwards for 3 weeks. My mobile phone number is on the announcement sheet if you need to contact me. Thanks to Robert Pinkerton, who volunteered to try to get the church services onto the website and was working on that this afternoon and managed to do that. First time's always the hardest, so we hopefully Robert will be able to do that over the next few weeks and that the CDs can be produced for those who normally get them. Well, we come to worship God this evening. We join together in prayer, so let us stand as we come to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise you now for this Lord's Day evening. We thank you for the opportunity to come and to bring you our worship. We praise you, Lord, for the scriptures that you give to us, to guide us in our understanding, to show us the things that we need to believe, to teach us how we are to think. And we praise you, Lord, for the things that we would not know if these things were not in the scriptures. We thank you that you have revealed your way of salvation, that you have shown us the very Savior that we need, that we know so much about the earthly life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the things that he said, the things that he did, the things that were said to him, and the responses that he gave. And we pray for your blessing as we look again at something of the earthly life of our Lord Jesus as we have it in the Gospel of John. We pray that you will bless your word to us that we read and consider together this evening. We give thanks, Lord, for today. We thank you for your safekeeping, and we pray for those who may be out and about on roads today where there can be very heavy thundery showers. We pray for your safe keeping in situations where there's localized flooding. We ask, Lord, now that you will be with us in this time of evening worship. We thank you for being able to worship you on the Lord's Day, and we pray that the things of this day will be a blessing to us for the other days that we will face. Lord, hear our prayers now. Work among us by your Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now let us read together this evening from the Gospel of John. I want to read from John chapter 8. And reading from verse 39 to the end of the chapter. Page number in our church Bible is 948. John chapter 8, and reading from verse 39. Jesus is in discussion with some Jews that are becoming increasingly hostile to the things that he is saying. This is God's word, John 8, verse 39. They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are not of God." Then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And we end our scripture reading at the close of this chapter. I want to speak about these verses now this evening, speaking on the subject under the title of Arguing About Abraham. Abraham gets mentioned quite a few places in these verses. Throughout the years of his earthly ministry, the people who opposed the Lord Jesus Christ most were the religious people who didn't want to see change. Their minds were closed. They liked the system that they had created for themselves. It wasn't God's way, but it suited them well, and they didn't want anybody coming and changing it. And so no matter what Jesus did, and no matter what Jesus said, they were not going to become followers of Jesus. And sooner or later, they would take offense at something that Jesus said. And in John chapter 8, we see that opposition. In the earlier verses, there is the opposition of the Pharisees, And then in the later verses of the chapter, it is some of the ordinary Jews who seemed at first to be sympathetic towards Jesus' teaching, but they quickly turn against him. And in these verses at the end of the chapter, it is the relationship of the crowd to Abraham and Jesus' connection to Abraham that are the main areas of dispute, so that they're arguing about Abraham. And I want to look, first of all, at what the crowd are saying about Abraham. And they say, these Jewish people say, Abraham is our father. That's what we have in verse 39. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And that statement then becomes the basis of the dispute between Jesus and the crowd. This is how they see it. They believe that this is a great thing in terms of their identity, that Abraham is their father. They are the physical descendants of Abraham, but not just that. They are the physical descendants of Abraham through the line of Isaac. And that was the really important thing. They weren't descended from Ishmael. They were descended from Isaac. But Jesus challenges their thinking. And he reminds them that there'll be no benefit whatsoever to them of being physically descended from Abraham if they don't live and think and believe as Abraham did. And Jesus says to them, verse 39, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. And he suggests that's absolutely not what they're doing. He says, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. Abraham believed the messages that God delivered to Abraham. And Abraham acted on the things that God said to Abraham. Abraham left his home and he left his country because God told him to. Abraham believed that God would give him a son, even when his wife was beyond the age of childbearing. He believed that God would do it because God said it. Abraham had obeyed God when God told him to go and sacrifice that special, precious son, Isaac. So these Jews were not acting in the way in which Abraham acted. They were not following in the footsteps of Abraham. And therefore, Jesus says, because you don't do the things that Abraham did, you must have a different father. Abraham must not be your father at all. And so Jesus says, verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. And stung by this, they reply, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus doesn't let the matter rest at that, and he presses them further. They claim that God is their father. Well, Jesus says to them, verse 42, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. And Jesus says, if God was your father, you would love me because God is my father. And having indicated then that Abraham couldn't be their father and that God couldn't be their father, Jesus then spells out in stark words the truth that these Jews were refusing to face up to. Verse 44, Jesus says, here's the way it is. you are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father, you want to do. What's your father like? He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's the father of lies. And so Jesus speaks to these Jewish people who are gathered debating with him, and he tells them that they are children of the devil. That's not how to win friends. They were refusing to listen to Jesus, who claims to come from God. And Jesus tells them that their father is the devil. And Jesus says the way that they're acting all boils down to who it is they belong to. Verse 47, he says, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are not of God. You don't belong to God. You're not God's children. You're children of the devil, Jesus tells them. His own countrymen. That's what he says. These are very hard-hitting words of the Lord Jesus. And these Jews were not used to hearing things such as this. No one else would ever have said such a thing to them. They weren't used to being told that they don't belong to God, that they're not really children of Abraham, but in reality they're children of the devil. Weren't used to hearing those things, and of course they didn't want to hear those things. Today, there are many people in the world who are in the same position as these Jews who debated with Jesus. There are many religious people today who are very happy with their own religion. They're happy with the system that they have bought into and invested in. And they're trusting in their own religious heritage for their standing before God. And people can trust in all sorts of different things that God will accept them because of this. Some trust in their baptism or in their church membership rather than trusting in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Many see themselves as being children of God. Many people think of God as being their Father, and yet they don't love Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. And many are totally deceived in thinking that all is well with them because they are religious people. Well, the Lord Jesus exposes the falsehood of these Jewish believers. It wasn't good enough for them to hold to the things that they were holding to. Jesus himself was what their religion was pointing to. Their religion was a religion about a Savior, and here is the Savior. And if your religion points to a Savior, and then you reject that Savior, well, your religion is no use whatsoever. And so Jesus rejects their beliefs. And within the words that he uses, he gives a simple way by which we can assess whether God really is our Father. Verse 42, Jesus says, if God were your Father, you would love me. And that's it. Isn't that simple? Isn't that straightforward? If God were your Father, you would love me. Anyone, whoever they are, if they do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, then God is not their Father. There is no one who is really a child of God who doesn't love the Lord Jesus. And that is what the New Testament consistently teaches. In order to be a child of God, you have to do more than just be born into this world. Jesus teaches that we need to be born again. We need a second birth, a new birth, a birth from above. We need to be saved by the Lord Jesus. And if Jesus saves us, well then we will love the Jesus who saves us. And if we love the Lord Jesus, God will assure us that he has adopted us into his family, and now we really are his children. And God really is our Father by adoption. And that means that all of those who are as yet outside of Christ are not true children of God. And Jesus didn't allow these Jews to think of themselves simply, therefore, as being fatherless. He doesn't allow them that option. But Jesus insists that those who do not love him belong to a different father, to the devil himself. Now, that's something that we would probably not want to believe unless we saw it clearly in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because Jesus says this, well then we must believe that this is the truth. And it is a truth and a teaching that shows us exactly what is at stake. People are either one thing or the other. People are either adopted children of God, or they are still children of Satan. And everybody in this world is on the one hand either becoming more like their Father in heaven, or they are becoming more like their Father in hell. And that is the stark teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, delivered to religious people who thought they were children of God. Jesus Christ is the only Savior, the only one who can deliver anyone from the fatherhood of Satan. Satan doesn't like to let go of those who are his children. Only Jesus can extract them from his grip. And Jesus is able to snatch people away from Satan. And he is able to give us a safe and secure place within the family of God. He is able to make us become his brothers and sisters. And that forever. And if you know that he has done that for you, well then, you need to give him the love that he deserves. Jesus says, if God were your Father, you would love me. And if he hasn't done that for you, well then, he is the one that you need to cry out to. And he is the only one who can lift us out of that pit that we are trapped in and give us this new identity within the household of God. We need to have more than just wishful thinking that we really are the children of God. We need to trust in Jesus Christ and through him be adopted as God's children. So Jesus and the crowd have an argument about Abraham. The crowd says, Abraham is our father. And Jesus tells them no. But he's telling them that if you believe in me and follow me, well then Abraham will be your father. Then the second part of this section of John chapter 8. Jesus continues to bring Abraham into the picture, Abraham continues to be a part of the conversation because of what the Jews say about him, and they in the second place then I want to consider when Jesus says there at the end of verse 58, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, the Jews didn't take kindly to being told that they were not true children of Abraham. They didn't take kindly to being told that they were not those who belonged to God. And they didn't like it, but they didn't really have any arguments that they could put forward against what Jesus was saying. And so because they didn't have any arguments, they attacked the person they were arguing with. And they reckoned that if they could discredit the man, well, then no one would bother with what the man was saying. And so they called Jesus the worst names that they could think of. Verse 48, they say, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and that you have a demon? Well, there was nothing whatsoever that they could put in support of Jesus being a Samaritan. So Jesus doesn't even bother with that side of things. But he does deny that he is demon-possessed. And he said that what he is doing is honoring his father, whereas what they are doing is dishonoring Jesus. But Jesus is content to let God be the judge in this situation. And he says in verse 50, I do not seek my own glory. But he says there is one who seeks. There is one who seeks my glory, and that is the one who judges. And so Jesus says God will be the judge of these things. How would we feel if people constantly went around saying about us things that were vile, things that were untrue? How does God think of those who say such things about his beloved Son? And what does God think today of those who say evil things about the Lord Jesus Christ? What does God think of those who blacken the name of Jesus by constantly using it as a swear word? The commandments teach us that the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who takes his name in vain. And Jesus insists that these people need to listen to the things that he is saying, and they need to believe the things that he is saying. And Jesus is teaching that it is a matter of eternal life or death in these things. He says in verse 51, most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. There will be no eternal death for those who keep the word of Jesus. And of course, the crowd don't want to believe these words at all. And that they accuse Jesus again of being demon possessed. The Jews see Jesus as being one who makes claims for himself that the great Old Testament prophets never claimed for themselves. He is making himself out to be greater than Abraham and greater than the prophets. And so they say in verse 52, now we know that you have a demon. And they say there at the end of verse 53, who do you make yourself out to be? Who do you think you are, that you're better than Abraham, that you're better than the prophets? And Jesus tells them that he is not making empty claims about himself. And he is saying that he is indeed greater than Abraham. He says in verse 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Well, these people aren't glad. They're seeing Jesus in the flesh. They're not glad at all. And Jesus means here that Abraham understood that Jesus was the son of the promise. Jesus was the one through whom the whole world was going to be blessed, that the Savior would come from the line of Abraham. And Abraham would be the father of many nations through the coming Savior. Abraham rejoiced to see the day of Jesus, and he was glad that that day was coming. But now here it was, and the Jews aren't rejoicing. And they twist the words of Jesus to make it out as if he's just saying something that is ridiculous. How could someone alive at that time claim to have seen Abraham, who lived 2,000 years earlier? They knew that Jesus wasn't that old. He hadn't been around that long. But Jesus tells them that he was indeed around before Abraham was even in existence. Verse 58, he says, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And that is a claim, not just that Jesus existed before Abraham, but Jesus is claiming that he is God. He uses that term and title, "I am," the name of God. He attributes it to himself. Jesus is greater than Abraham because Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is equal with God. And so these Jews have been pushed into a corner, and they have a choice to make. Are they going to believe in this one who claims that he is the promised Savior? That he is the one that Abraham was looking forward to? If Jesus is right, well then they must believe him and obey him. But if Jesus is wrong, well then Jesus is guilty of blasphemy. And the law of God required that he should be stoned. And it doesn't take them long to make their decision. Verse 59, they take up stones to throw at him. But once again, they feel. This was not the time for the Lord Jesus to die. And so he's able to hide. He hides himself from them. He's able to leave the temple unscathed. He slips away unharmed. Here we have this religious confrontation, and it's about Jesus. It's about the importance and the centrality of Jesus to the faith of the Scriptures. And we live in a not very united kingdom, and we live in one that is becoming more and more a nation that goes down. If it has any religious expression, it is a multi-faith religious expression. And today we're encouraged to celebrate religious diversity. And that's the way that the pressure is on that in Northern Ireland the religious education curriculum should become more and more one that embraces and celebrates religious diversity. Jesus Christ does not celebrate religious diversity. Jesus detests religious diversity. God tells us that just as there is only one true God, so there is only one true mediator between God and man. And that one true mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ of the Scriptures. There is only one way to God, and that is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus believed that. Jesus was committed to that. And Jesus came into this world to save sinners because there was no other way. And God is not impressed by what He sees as what He sees in the world in terms of viewing religious diversity as being a great thing. And God will not reward those within His church for compromises with those who advocate a different way to God. There is an end, and there is a conclusion that all of world history is coming towards. And God is bringing the world to a conclusion. And it's not one where all religions will be seen as being equally valid. God isn't bringing things to a point where no one will seek to convert anyone any more to some other faith. But rather, God is in the business of bringing glory to His Son, the Lord Jesus. And the world wants to say that it doesn't really matter what religion you follow, if you follow any religion at all. And Jesus just utterly did not believe that. And Jesus Christ of Nazareth did not go to the cross at Calvary with the understanding in the back of his mind that if people don't believe in me, there's plenty of other ways that they'll find of getting to heaven. Jesus was utterly convinced that his way was the only way, and that people needed to believe in him. And so for these folk with all their Jewish background and Jewish heritage, and they had so many blessings, but if they didn't come to see that it was all coming forward and building up to this man Jesus, Jesus the Son of God, then it all counted for nothing. And so Jesus was convinced that he was the one they needed to believe in. And that is what the Scriptures teach us. Jesus demands our full and undivided allegiance. And if we really know God, well then we will love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be clear about that. There's all sorts of people who talk about their religion and talk about God. The question is, do they love the Lord Jesus? Many religious people don't love the Lord Jesus. If we love the Lord Jesus, we will not oppose him. We will not set up rival ways to God. We will not sideline the Lord Jesus as if he is not the big thing. We will not ignore the Lord Jesus, and we will not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus. We will believe and know that it is the case, that it is only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we become the true children of Abraham, and it is only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we become the true children of God. And Jesus says to us also, that if God is our Father, then we will love him. And the ultimate question for all of us is, do we love the Lord Jesus Christ? If we don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, our religion is useless. God desires to see his Son glorified. Jesus says, there is one who seeks my glory, and it is his Father in heaven. God seeks the glory of his Son, and we are to be those who glorify Christ by giving him our all, trusting in him fully, and seeking to serve him with every fiber of our being. These religious people argued with Jesus about Abraham, and Jesus was right, and they needed to believe in this man they were arguing with. And many people today are just wanting to have arguments with Jesus rather than to believe in him and embrace him. If God were your Father, you would love me. Amen. Well, let us look to God now in our prayers. And if you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks for all that you teach us in your word. We thank you that in the scriptures, we do see times when the teaching of Jesus is well received, but we thank you also, Lord, for those times when people just don't want to believe the things that he is saying, and where the things that Jesus is saying are very hard upon his listeners. And Lord, we praise you for the clear teaching of your word, that the Lord Jesus himself is the only way to God. We pray for those in our world today of Jewish background, those who pay some heed to the Old Testament scriptures, but who don't pay any heed to Jesus, who is the one that those scriptures point to. We pray for the work of those involved in Christian witness towards people of Jewish background. Pray for the missionaries of the International Mission to Jewish People. We pray for them in their work in Israel, in their work in various other parts of the world. And we pray, O Lord, that you will continue to use their ministry, and that you would open the eyes and open the hearts of people of Jewish background, and that they would have the wonderful joy of coming to see for the first time what their religion is all about. That it's not something that leads nowhere, but that it leads to the Savior that you did send and that you did provide. And so, Lord, we pray for a harvest among those of Jewish background. We pray, Lord, that you would do a mighty work. We remember our missionaries. We pray for them in their labors. We pray that these summer months will be times when they'll experience many good things. May they be encouraged, O Lord, through those who would worship with them in Galway and Nantes and in Spain. And we pray, O Lord, that they will know times of refreshing themselves. We pray that they will be able to have a break from labors. And Lord, that you would do your work of building and strengthening your cause there in those places of labor. We pray, Lord, for the work of our church camps. We pray for the boys and girls discovery camp teams. And we pray for the adventure camp teams also. We ask, Lord, that you will help them in the things that they're organizing for the young folk, some things online and sometimes gathering up for different activities. And Lord, we pray that those things will prove to be really encouraging this year. We pray for those of our young folk who are involved in camp work, serving as officers, and we pray, Lord, for your help for them. We remember Rebecca and Sharon and Grace in the girls' discovery camp work. We pray for them and what they're able to do, and we pray, Lord, that they'll be able to contribute in whatever way they can. We pray for Ross and his work with the Boys Adventure Camp. And we give thanks, Lord, for people who have gone through camps themselves and known the blessing it has been to them. And we pray for them as they seek to pass on some of those benefits that they themselves received. And so, Lord, we look to you for this work among young folk. And we pray that many will benefit from it and be strengthened in their faith. And we pray that as young people at the end of the summer, as they go into their new situations in school, we pray, Lord, that they would be all the more ready for it because of the good spiritual influences that you'll bring upon them during these summer months. We pray, Lord, that you will be at work here among us in Karatz. We pray for your blessing upon the ministry of those who will come and preach over the summer months. And we pray, Lord, for your good working there. We pray that you will continue to grant good health, that many may be able to be out at worship. We pray for those who are not so well, that you'll be pleased, Lord, to do a work of healing. We pray that people will be encouraged by little signs of progress, being able to do things that they haven't been able to do for a while. And Lord, we pray that you will be at work here in this place. We pray that you will give wisdom in assessing things for the autumn time and what will be possible to be done when we reach that stage. We give thanks, Lord, for three men planning to begin their studies at the Theological College with beginning to learn the Greek language in September. And we pray for those three men. We pray that you will keep them well. Pray for them, O Lord, in their preparations for starting into a new and very different chapter of life for them. And we pray that they will rejoice in the things that they can learn from the Old Testament scriptures, from the New Testament scriptures, the things they learn in regard to the teachings of the Bible about doctrine. Help them as they learn about preaching your word, as they learn about what you have done in the past centuries, and how the Church of Jesus Christ grew from its very small beginnings that we see in the book of Acts. And Lord, we pray that your mighty workings will be things that will really rejoice their hearts. And we pray that you will shape these men and help them, O Lord, in all that they are undertaking. We pray for Reverend Stephen Neely. We pray for him, Lord, that you will bring him through a time of ill health. And we pray that you will restore him, O Lord, to full health. We pray that the treatment that he's getting will be fully effective, and that when the time comes for him to take up his new teaching duties at the college, that he'll be able to do that. And we thank you, Lord, for the things that he has studied in the past and for the learning that he has. And we pray that there'll be many in the years to come who will benefit from the things that he will teach from the Old Testament scriptures. We give thanks, Lord, now for this day, and we pray that you'll continue with us. Lord, we pray that you will help us each day to remember our need of the salvation of Jesus Christ. And may we be those who look to him and continue to put our hope and trust in him. We pray all now in his precious name. Amen. We sing praise to God from the beginning of Psalm 116. Psalm 116, and we sing verses 1 to 6, stanzas 1 to 6 of Psalm 116, and the tune is Kilmarnock, Psalm 116 to the tune Kilmarnock. My son-in-law graduated the other day as a doctor. I have to call him Dr. McCulloch now, and he'll begin as a doctor in Kilmarnock. And living in Glasgow, working in Kilmarnock, and whatever other psalm tunes he might be able to incorporate into his medical career over the next few years, we await to see. We sing Psalm 116, I love the Lord. And Jesus says, if God were your father, you would love me. I love the Lord because he hears my voice. He hears my plea. So while I live, I'll call on him who turned his ear to me. And these words speak to us of our great salvation, the Savior that we have. The very cords of death, they did completely me surround. The terrors of the grave took hold. I grief and trouble found. Then on the Lord's name I did call. And I to him did say, deliver now my soul, O Lord. I earnestly do pray. The Lord is gracious and is just. Our God does mercy show. The Lord preserves the simple ones. He saved me when brought low. Return my soul now to your rest, because the Lord has been so good to you. For you indeed, my soul from death set free. My eyes from tears you freed. My feet from stumbling you did free. I walk before the Lord as long as I alive will be. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who sets our soul free from death. He sets us free from the grip of Satan upon us, and we are released, and we have life that is truly life. Psalm 116, 1-6, to tune Kilmarnock, 106. We remain seated to sing, and then afterwards I'll close in the benediction.
I love the Lord because he hears my voice, hears my plea. So while I live, I'll call on him, attend his ear to me. The very cords of death, they did completely me surround. The terrors of the grave took hold. I grief and trouble found. Then on the Lord's name I did call, and I to him did say, deliver now my soul, O Lord, I earnestly do pray. The Lord is gracious and is just, a God does mercy show. The Lord preserves the simple ones. He saved me when brought low. Return my soul now to your rest, because the Lord has been so good to you. For you indeed my soul from death set free. My eyes from tears you freed, my feet from stumbling you did free. I'll walk before the Lord as long as I alive will be.
Now receive God's blessing. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.